Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, B&B fans get another shock with the announcement that Susan Flannery is leaving the show. Melissa Reeve shuts down her Twitter account. Alexis and Jocelyn end up in the hospital on General Hospital. And YNR issues a casting call. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hello. I'm joining the Bold and the Beautiful this week.
Are you the new Stephanie Forrester?
No, I'm Ridge.
Okay.
Logan.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
And Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
And Melody, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, last week Ron Moss was leaving B&B. This week Susan Flannery is. Jamie, can B&B take much more of this?
Well, you know, I would love to do my usual, this is just outrageous, da-da-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, what's going on? But a quick look at B&B's ratings for last week showed that the Bold and the Beautiful was up, you know, in total viewers, in several demos. So it's like, as much as we definitely see a lot of it, in the comments on our message board, that people seem to be unhappy with the Bold and the Beautiful in terms of online viewers. But last week, the show went up 78,000 total viewers. It's up 222,000 year to date. B&B was up in households. It's up two-tenths of a point year-to-date in households. No other soap can claim numbers like they've been able to claim recently. They're up two-tenths of a point in women 18 to 49, which is the main demo they serve. So, yeah, I mean, and of course last week, I mean, I'm referring to the last week of the Olympics, so that definitely helped all the soaps. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, yes, I'm shocked. Not really shocked that Susan is leaving, because I know she's been, I mean, it's been bandied about for years that she would retire at some point. But me personally, I feel that these little storylines that they have going cannot sustain the show. But the ratings argue with me on that. You know, we complain about it, but the ratings are good. So maybe Brad knows what he's doing. But I think this is what's interesting, though, is that 2012 will be the year that the Bold and the Beautiful veterans had to basically deal with what the rest of the daytime soaps have been dealing with for the last 15 years, with these, you know, veterans kind of having to be told to take a cut or else. And I don't know. I mean, we know that they're in contract negotiations. We know that, the contracts for the core four are happening right now. So,
well,
it's not hard to, you know, it's not hard to jump to the draw the conclusion that maybe Susan's didn't go so well. But, you know, according to Soaps In Depth, she signed on temporarily to give them a chance to write out a proper exit, which, you know, I guess that was different than like Ron. I guess Ron was like, bye and see y'all. And
Jillian, let's talk about the other half of the core four. Catherine Kelly Lang, it was announced, has re-signed for 2 years. Which is good news in terms of keeping her on the show. But, I mean, without Stephanie around, what's the real point of keeping Eric? What are your thoughts on Catherine Kelly Lang? And do you think that Eric needs to stick around if Stephanie leaves?
I mean, you know, one monkey don't stop no show, Luke. I mean, it is what it is. Look, I mean, only time will tell with John McCook to see what is what. I mean, he hasn't really done anything in a while, so it's like,
trying to put Stephanie in that titty.
Yeah, that's about it. Trying to get fresh with Stephanie, and she's like, hold up, Bucky.
Loompa, doopity-doo.
Oh, you need to stop that.
Right, for real. You need to zip it. You know, I mean, I just wonder if it was a situation where Ron was like, you know, I'm tired. You know, Ron was like, I'm out. Y'all cutting my pay, and y'all giving all this storyline to these little kids. Maybe Susan felt the same way, too. You know, she did say a few years back that she was gearing up for retirement. I mean, this just came like a wham, bam, thank you. This just came wham, wham, wham. Well, I guess Catherine said, look, I got bills to pay. I still got some young, I got some kids. What? I mean, Susan Flannery's been in the game for a very long time. So, you know, she's got a, I'm pretty sure Susan has a nice little chunk stashed away. Me, personally, if it was a situation, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. If it was a situation where Susan was just like, you know, I'm about to throw y'all the deuce because y'all want to cut me and y'all got this soap, you know, revolving around these little kids, and, you know, someone of Stephanie's stature is worried about if, you know, Steffi is getting her orgasm or not. Look, me personally, if I was, I said it on Twitter, if I was Greg Meng, Ken Corday, or Gary Tomlin, I would come a knock on her door and be like, hey girl, you know, Laura Horton needs to hoe check that trampy Kate, what's up? That's just me.
Reagan, your response to me when I put the news in Instant Messenger was what?
Oh, sure. So Snoreboard Brook stays.
Get up.
No Snoreboard.
I don't like her. I don't. To me.
So you don't like her, so she's a Snoreboard?
Well, she's boring to me in the sense that all she does is meddle in Hope's life.
They've relegated her to now.
I know. So for me, as a new viewer who picked up The Bold and the Beautiful because two of my soaps went off the air.
If that's what you just started watching this year, I can understand that. Because it's what they have Brooke doing on that show now, which is criminal.
So I'm hearing of Brooke Logan, who's supposed to be like one of the main big four characters of The Bold and the Beautiful, and all she is this meddling bitch of a mother. That's what she is to me.
Oh my God, but someone said something funny on Facebook, you know, Jordan Hudson from the Pine Valley podcast. He was just like, you know, wow, Susan Flannery's leaving. I guess they'll never be able to tell the great story where Stephanie finally realizes she's a lesbian and all this hostility towards Brooke is because she really wanted her. So, you know, she and I were going back and forth and a young lady on Facebook was like, the story writes itself. She's like, Ridge and Stephanie are going to ride off into the sunset together just how she always wanted it. I'm like, that's funny as hell. I'm like, you know, she going to pack her Ridge up and be like, get rocks, you bastards, and go about her business.
Well, Jamie, I do want to ask you one more question before I move on to Mel. But do you think they should try recasting the role? Some people in the comments there were debating. Some people suggested Susan Seaforth Hayes. Some people suggested Erica Slezak. Would you like to see the role recast?
No, I don't see that. I don't see there being a need to recast Stephanie. If Susan retired, I would kill Stephanie off. I mean, to me, that would give much more dramatic impact. She's already had the battle with cancer. The show needs drama, because there isn't enough drama to be had in, you know, this
My Little Pony hair and fake tattoos.
I feel that I would love to see a story where Stephanie succumbed to her cancer and it brought back her children with Eric, who fight like hell to undo that ridiculous trust she set up where, you know, Massimo Moroni's idiot grandson will walk away with 25% of Forrester Creations when she dies. I'd love a story where Felicia Thorne and Kristen, played by Mara West, team up and decide they're going to have their mother's will challenged. And,
oh, can you imagine Mara West and Leslie Cabe reunited on screen?
And then they go head to head against Taylor and her minion children to take control of that company. Because, I mean, to me, you have to drive this story. You know, it's going to be a gaping hole, so they need to tell a powerful story. All this Ridge, I don't, you know, why is Ridge just going off after his honeymoon? Is he going to get lost? You know, that's not a story. You know, Brad has got to do some better stuff than what he's doing. I'm sorry, I cannot treat him with kid gloves anymore. These stories are
burnt out. You know, I wonder if he's burnt out.
You don't have to wonder when you look at the dialogue on this show every day. You know, I like all three of them, but I am so tired of Scott Clifton sitting there looking stupid and Kimberly Manolo, whatever her name is, having to recite these lines. That didn't feel like my wedding day. You've had 70 fucking weddings, little girl. I don't care anymore. You don't need that many wedding days. It's not, you know, a wedding is not like... It's like she's like a Pentecostal going up to get rededicated to the Lord every time she blows somebody. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're married, you just fight for the marriage. You have the mistakes and stuff. You don't have to get a new wedding every time somebody makes out with somebody else. It's just stupid. It's stupid, stupid, stupid. I'm sick of it.
If that is the case, then politicians would be really making this economy stay afloat with all the horn that they do on Capitol Hill. And
every
like,
time this ooh. Girl, and then they flash back to Stephanie thinking about that tacky wedding on that hill where she's dressed up like the missing Spice Girl. We're over this. But the ratings are up, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Mel, I have a question for you. Jamie's suggesting bringing Maura West on. Leslie Kay is already there in a very rarely recurring
shit.
Role.
Shit, though.
I said in a very rarely recurring role.
Rarely? I've been watching you for how many months now? I've never seen her.
I'm going to be like this.
I came back once in the last 6 months, didn't she?
Look, I don't know what the deal is with Leslie Kay. I don't know what's going on. Something going on there. If you don't want her, bring the other one back. Bring Colleen Dion back. It's 50 out-of-work actresses in Hollywood. If Leslie Kay ain't working out, put Martha Byrne in. Martha Byrne in for the pitch, you know, pinch hit. Let Martha go in and play Felicia. Let Colleen come back. Let me. I put on that little Felicia.
I get why people want Susan Seaforth Hayes, though, because you know she was supposed to have that role, but it's like too little, too late, boo. So,
I was kind of thinking the role of Stephanie Forrester is now being portrayed by Kim Zimmer. But
no, ma'am. We are revoking your recast brother just like that. No, ma'am.
Look, Stephanie went to a spa and came back. Well, shut up, Jamie.
Yes. Shut up, Jamie.
It will be a big loss to have Susan Flannery off of The Bold and the Beautiful. Question is it a big loss for Melissa Reeves to be off Twitter? Crystal Chappelle came out in a statement on her site in defense of Melissa Reeves, but Melissa decided to shut down her Twitter account. After everything that's happened with the Chick-fil-A controversy, Jamie, do you think it was the right thing to do?
I'm going to tell you what God love, and that's the truth. I'm over Melissa Reeves. I don't care what she does. I don't care how much chicken she eats. I just pray, and I know that I'm on the side of right, so that's all I care about. When you're on the right side of history, that's all you can have faith in. The people who were wrong trying to restrict women and blacks their rights, they lost in the end, and so will all the people trying to restrict gays their rights. So I hope she has her Bible and her chicken wings and that she is dipping and having a good time. I don't care. I'm not going to focus any more energy on one woman and her silly opinion. And that's that. Because my Jack is dead again, and I don't care nothing about Jennifer.
Boy, did he plummet down an elevator shaft or what?
So. I mean, you know, Crystal, I see what Crystal was trying to do, but boo-boo, she ended up coming out with her own statement saying, I stood by what I said and what. So, how you feel now?
There's some interesting developments this last week on Days of Our Lives storyline-wise. In the fallout from the disaster, we have the fact that EJ and Sammy got close, were starting to make out and stop themselves. We have the fact that Madison died and Brady is now wanting to kill Ian. And we have the fact that Daniel is just, well, still an idiot. And
still alive.
I know.
Why is Gabby still alive?
I know!
Prime opportunity to kill this terrible character. Why is she still alive?
She is like Daze's equivalent of Yvonne Zimmer. I don't mean she can't act like Yvonne, but she's a character that nobody gives a fee-fi-fo you know what about, and she's still
there. Oh, that girl can't act.
Why couldn't they just turn her into like the Kenny of Daze and kill her off repeatedly?
I'm not saying that she's like, no, I didn't say that now, Miss Laura. I meant that she's not as bad as Yvonne. and acting wise.
No, she's not. Camilla is not. I'm not going to look. Camilla, no, no. I don't like the character because they never really developed her. But I thought she was kind of funny as a villainess, you know, stalking that boy and, I mean, having that boy stalk Melanie and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the thing of it is, she's not the greatest actor. But I've said this before about this show, and I'll say it again. Neither was a young Lisa True, whatever her name was, Trudell. And look, a lot of my favorites, I ain't gonna name them because I love them too much. I can't do that.
But
they wasn't good when they started either. I know Allison Sweeney wasn't. Go watch that.
And I'll say what I've said before, Days no longer has the luxury of time.
You don't ever like no younger characters. Luke, if you had your...
I do. Like Will.
Yeah, I'm a cast Luke Kerr's dream soap opera starring Jeannie Cooper, Constance Powers,
Mara West.
That is not true. To like younger characters.
Mara West would be
Wildin.
Annie was a younger character on Sunset Beach. Greenlee was a younger character on All My Children when she came on. I like a number of younger characters.
Rebecca Budding is waiting for you to get some funding for a soap opera because she know she it would be better than the real Greenlee campaign.
And Marcy Ryland and Adrian Fronzer were both young when I started watching them and liked them.
Marcy's still pretty young.
You would have every old heifer in Hollywood.
Well, speaking of old heifers, Stefano is revealed to be alive in this week's promo.
You call Stefano old heifer?
I am scared of Joe Mascolo because he will come.
I never said anything about Joe Mascolo. I said it about Stefano. I like Joe Mascolo.
Okay, Joe Mascolo talks.
But apparently, Stefano is alive. What are your guys' thoughts?
Joe Mascolo talks as a third person about Stefano. So when he calls up and says, "I heard you what you said about me," and you're like, "What? What do you mean about me, Stefano?"
And we can't help you when he comes.
Shut up, what up, Luke?
But, Stefano's alive and.
Silence of the Lamb mask on his face. Stefano,
look, that's what needs to happen. They need to go on and bring Susan Flannery on today's in the role she originated, Dr. Laura Horton.
I said it. Ken should be, now that she's freed up, if Ken.
We all said it. What you got to
do? No, I said it on. I just said it on Twitter today.
So did Jamie. I retweeted it.
Oh well, yeah, you Twitter stalking again. If Ken had any sense,
well, in that case, I should be the authority on who said it.
Chow, please, no spell authority. No, Ken Corday should really cut some of them. All the people that he firing, he should have a good little nest egg to come over there and be like, Susan, darling.
Perfect, because not only is she the original Laura, who is Laura's arch nemesis? Kate. Who was Susan Flannery's arch nemesis on The Bold and the Beautiful? Margot Linley, who was played by Lauren Coslow. If you had a soap with Deirdre Hall and Eileen Davidson and them two, Luke would be happy. All them old brides fighting.
Oh my God, don't you gonna make me excited? Because that would be so. Oh, damn.
But Vito Ron Mouse coming on as Mike Horton. He can't be Michael.
Well, no. Bo, you'd have to worry about him coming on as Bo.
Michael Horton, and I am the new chief of staff of Salem University Hospital.
Oh, seriously. The scarfs wouldn't even be able to deliver the dialogue needed for a medical role.
She just vetoed him coming on as Bo Brady. Fancy face. I could see Kristen Alfonso. You know, she not an arch and eyebrows. She'd be like,
She ripped that scarf
well,
off.
The one thing that if Ron Moss was Bo, it would have to be like the chiseled cheekbone, like face off between those two. Let's talk a little bit about Will. Last week's podcast, Jamie was talking about being upset at the fact that Will was going to end up in bed with Gabby. Chandler Massey told Soap Opera Digest that Will is battling self-esteem issues. So when you get two people who have some sort of romantic history in a room together and they're both feeling insecure about themselves, they seek any comfort they can find. Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, you
call
know.
Bullshit?
Oh, yeah, I mean, come on. I don't see all the straight characters on the show having low self-esteem. You know, when Sammy has a bad day, I don't see her going and eating Nicole's kitty cat. I'm sorry. People need to quit acting like gay people. If you're bisexual, that's one thing. But if the boy is gay, his sexuality is not interchangeable. And I know that there's, you know, I read the Kinsey scale stuff too. But they've never implied that he was, you know, in the middle of the Kinsey scale. It's been that he was gay, that he didn't want her before because he don't like the equipment that she has. He likes meat and she only had seafood. So, you know, no, I don't believe that he is
going to. He likes stick shift. She's an automatic.
There you go. I just don't believe that, you know, and they only do this crap with gay characters. You know, they never. I'm sorry. If this is how it has to be, then I need for Jennifer Rose, since she's going to be distraught about Jack, I need her to go and just try to eat some punani next week. I do. Because
no,
if
that's
how it's supposed to be, then equal opportunity. Because, no, that little gorgeous gay twink of a boy with all those gays running around Salem, if he was upset, he would go to the nearest gay club, do a tab of ecstasy, and go in the back room.
The Daytime Confidential podcast does not condone or endorse the use of illegal substances.
I'm telling you what a good-looking twinkie gay boy would do if he was having bad self-esteem problems and feeling bad about himself. It would still be terrible, but that's what he would do. He would go be the power bottom.
In this podcast, we do not encourage you to go use drugs.
In the back room of the Salem Gay Bar. That is what he would do, and he'd feel terrible the next day.
No,
and
wait
he'd
a minute.
Take his test, and yeah, that's what happens. It's, you don't go sleep with a girl if you're gay and having a bad day.
So Gabby's having a self-esteem issue, too?
Well, yeah, because they done found it. Look, Chad done found out that she hired that fool to.
Okay, then if she's having a self-esteem issue, we could clear all this up. She can just jump in front of a bus right now.
Yes, and
yes, she should suffer from depression and have her
kill herself.
Going, and the readers are savvy. I don't know if this is a spoiler, but I'm pretty sure she's gonna have a little bambito.
And that just sucks. Why does Will have to be stuck with a mother like her?
Well, because Luke, Carolyn Hinton said the gays got to be able to have children.
What?
You gotta sit up. I love Carolyn, but that was the one passage I was like, huh? You know, gays got to be able to procreate.
Okay, Kiki girl. Okay.
So, but that is the mentality that these people really do believe. It's like they never watched Brothers and Sisters or any other show with gay characters. Gay people do not just exist to fuck straight people and have their babies with them.
Okay, Kiki.
Or get bullied. You know, that's the other thing, the getting bullied. It's like, hello.
The only thing I don't mind at all is that it's more.
They've cut it to death. Every soap, every gay character has to get bullied. It's like,
but, you know. I guess they're going to do that because, I mean, you know, Will hasn't, you know, how do I put this?
Well, what would be refreshing is if it was Sunny that was the bully.
Let me tell you, though, right now.
I was just trying to say, like, you know, with the bullying thing, it seems as though Will hasn't had any issues with it. You know what I mean? Like, any fallout. Like, I would have, you know, the storyline that you said.
But not everybody does.
He had issues with Roman and Sammy. I mean, Sammy ran out of there. There are more issues with being a young gay man. I'd rather see Will, you know, having to learn about how to put the condom on a banana or something
than that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Sammy was giving Greg a run for his money, literally.
My name was Jackson Kyriakos, and my granduncle was a ruthless Greek mob lord. Wouldn't nobody bully me? I don't care if I had on some pink sparkly booty shorts and I walked down the street singing "It's Raining Men," because I would have my granduncle put a hit on you if you called me faggot. I'd be like, "Oh, I'm a faggot. Okay, I got you, T. Nah, I'm not gonna fight you. But when you're gonna be sleeping with the fishes tonight, cause I'm part of the white gay mafia. And what? I'm a Kyriakos, bitch." That's all it would be for me.
So the Kyriakos family is the white gay mafia?
They are the mafia. Victor is a Greek mob. And yeah, with Sonny, now they can be in the gay mafia. And I would have T put submitted for some rubber boots. Or not rubber boots, it's cement boots.
Yes, some like rubber boots. Okay, Jamie. He going out in the rain. What the hell?
We're going fishing. I don't know. This is what these subs have reduced me to. I just
noticed it seems as though with them doing this, they're trying to put their stamp on things and get rid of what the old regime is. And it's like sometimes I can understand them doing that, rewriting some of the crap that they've done. But if it's flowing effortlessly, leave it alone. You don't have to put your stamp and pee on a tree.
Well, and why not play against type? I still think you could have had a situation where a character like Sunny was the bully and do something unique.
Why would the gay boy bully another gay boy?
Well, it's possible. Why? I mean, bullies come in all shapes and forms. It doesn't. But what I'm saying is, a bully doesn't just have to be a straight person attacking a gay person.
No one's saying that, but
generally how it is, though.
But no.
That doesn't mean it's always how it is.
But no, I just want to know.
But that's not. I mean, when you're trying to tell a socially relevant story, why are you going to tell one? Ooh, let's do the plight of the poor, pitiable straights and how the gays are just making it hell for them every day.
No, but I just want to know. I'm just wondering why, you know, from what Luke's point of view, I'm trying to, because it sounds, you know, like a.
The thing about being a bully, no matter who you are, what sexual preference you have, is that when it comes down to it and you realize you're a bully, it's the fact that you have to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I did a terrible, terrible thing.
No, I understand that.
I think it should not. People can be bullied whether they're gay or not.
No one's disputing that, but I'm saying why? What would Sonny's motivation be for bullying Will?
Well, who knows? I mean, but obviously would have had to have taken a different setup with the character.
I don't want him to do bullying.
But what I'm saying is, well, no, I would prefer that they didn't do bullying either, but why does it always have to be the gay kid that's the victim? I mean, Jamie, you've told the stories before about how when you were picked on as a kid, you would punch someone out before they got it and
then
stop.
Yeah, and that is... That's because my grandmother, basically, we had a moment, a come-to-Jesus moment about that, and I came home, I'll never forget it, complaining about this same kid who came from a huge family of bullies who bullied everybody, and it was equal opportunity bullying. Yeah, and they did bully everybody, you know, and she just, my grandmother never looked up from her where she was reading on the couch, and she said, the day you whoop that boy ass one good time, he gonna leave you alone. And it just, something clicked. I think it was the fact that she just gave me, you know, basically she'd given me permission.
Yes.
And that ended up happening. I whooped his ass and he left me alone. But I see why, if you're going to tell a bullying story, I mean, because it's topical. I mean, and it does happen a lot in society. But I'm like, soaps have been there and done that is what I'm saying. You know, we already had Greenlee calling Bianca Lesbianca. We already had, you know, on As the World Turns, it got so crazy a serial killer had to try to come and get the gays, you know, and, you know, Lucas GH, well, that's all he did, come out and catch a beat down, and then they wrote him off. It's like, I feel like Days has done the best male gay coming out story ever in daytime. Much better, in my opinion, than World Turns, where Lucas comes out and promptly pushes his 19-month pregnant mama down the stairs.
19 months.
And, you know, Lucas on GH comes out, catches a beat down, his daddy dies of monkey flu, and then he goes away and we never see him again. I think Days did a unique story, and they had Lucas in a unique situation where they played up all this sexual tension with EJ. I feel like...
You mean Will?
What did I call him?
Lucas.
EJ, Will, somebody. Will. You know, see, that's the problem I'm having. He's supposed to be named Lucas. If you're gay in daytime, your name's supposed to be some variation of Lucas.
And his name wasn't Lucas on John World Turns. It was Luke.
It was Luke. Some variation of Luke.
You were like Lucas. I'm like, isn't it Luciano?
I love the name Luke. But, so, Will, Yum William, as EJ calls him. It's like, and you know, we see where this is going. Will will fall for Sonny because Sonny catches the beat down. I don't want you to fall for me because I got a bloody nose. I'm like, why you didn't want him last week when he kissed you with a nice pretty face? Why you gonna want him when he beat down? And you got the stench of Gabby on you. That is not a love story make, but I don't know.
Mel, let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Mm-hmm. Alexis and Jocelyn are in the hospital because Jerry injected them, but it turns out he was basically inoculating them from what everybody else in Port Charles is going to get. Thoughts?
Okay, so he's going to infect all of Port Charles with some kind of virus that's going to kill everybody off. Am I understanding this story correctly here?
No, he's going to poison the water supply. I'm done teasing. He's going to poison the Port Charles water supply and then demand that they pay him a buttload of money to provide an antidote.
Ding, 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 ding. Hold up. Doesn't this sound like 2001 when Megan McTravesty tried that, but 9/11 happened and they kicked the bucket on that with Stavros and Helena?
That wasn't going to be poisoned water. That was going to be those that looked like nuclear weapons or something. I remember they showed, they showed it, they had them reveal them big green vials of stuff, and then they stopped that.
That sounds sort of similar to it, though. Weren't they going to ransom the city?
Biotoxins are, but I ain't going to credit that to Megan McTavish. It sounds like the original, they were going to freeze the world.
Right, and make Ice Princess.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've been doing those same. GH is known for terrorists coming to town and,
saying it sounds similar.
Is using Helena's thing and showing up on people's TVs.
Well, and the thing and Helena didn't start that either. They've had supervillains showing up on video cast long before Constance Towers.
Mel, what are your thoughts?
Superman. I guess he got that from Constance Towers. It looks bad. All roads lead back to God. Towers! Who I love. I love Constance Towers. I do. But damn, Luke.
Yeah. Reagan, what are your thoughts on the storyline with Joe Jr. and Trey and trying to get Christina to marry?
That's the one storyline. Well, I'm still not a fan of like Kate and all this, but that's probably where it's hitting a dud for me. I loved, especially Friday's episode. I was in love with it. As sleep deprived as I am right now, I made sure to bone up on my GH. But this storyline is just it's really
ridiculous. In the words of Diane Carroll, Mel, hit it.
Die, just die.
But not my Eric Valdez. He's a keeper. Trey is that boy? Let me tell you.
Joe Jr.
Can go. Him and Christina can get married and leave together.
Oh, new Christina.
Keep Trey and let Star get some of that good.
Oh, a Star Trey Johnny triangle would be fantastic.
No,
I don't want Johnny.
Johnny and Star, no Johnny. Johnny, and Star.
Look, Star is a baby. She don't need that.
Now you like to talk about Lily.
Star don't need to go.
You like to talk about Lily on Young and the Restless, saying, when you get crotch crickets, you groan. I'm sorry, but Star hatching that baby made her groan. So
she took Sonny out on the road and was going to shoot him.
She is not grown to follow a penis that has been to Carly's neck of the woods.
Well, by that definition, no one could sleep with Carly. No woman in town could have sex.
Look, let that baby have Trey. They have kibbutz.
Well, no, I said a triangle. A triangle with Star who partially falls in love with the guy who killed her child, and then Trey would be a fantastic triangle.
So I like her with Michael.
Between a mobster, a Pop-Tart, and a boy that wants to do a reality show.
That'd be better than Michael, who still is boring as hell.
I like her with Michael.
Michael, I like Trey.
His heart.
And I can deal with Michael as the Scotty Baldwin to Trey's Luke. Because Trey and her have a lot of chemistry. There's no way she sees that walking all around in his drawers, and she ain't having filthy, ungodly thoughts. And Michael, he ain't inspiring no filthy, ungodly thoughts.
Oh, damn. Them chat duo fans coming for you.
Looking guy. He's good looking, but he's just always so sad and tits. I'm like, he's showboy.
Constipated.
Thanks for noticing me. Yeah, Eeyore. Yeah.
Ooh. With little Jocelyn than he do with his girlfriend. I'm like,
I never thought I'd see the day where I just didn't want to see Michael in town in Port Charles, but he's a character that could go away and come back in a couple years.
I wouldn't mind him being aged and really come back wanting to take over ELQ. And then,
oh yeah,
and then wanting it to be a front for the mob, you know, like.
And then ran by Helena.
Well, she could be one of Helena's boy toys. There we go.
Never to see Helena again after that last storyline. The only Helena story I want is if they bring back Jenny Francis, they can have her put a bullet through Helena's dog, and we can call it a day.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. First do Helena, bitch. Boom!
Because
I'm tired of Helena coming back. It don't make no sense. I'm a fan of Constance Towers, but I feel the same way about Helena that I do about Sheila Carter, and that was one of my favorite characters, too. I used to love Helena, but once you turn a villain into a ridiculous cartoon...
Yeah.
I do not want to see that 80-year-old woman coming around with that butcher knife wielded it.
What a knife! I'm like, girl, you about to file your nails? What's up with that?
The food villain I like seeing come back every time is Stefano, because I'm used to that. That's like childhood for me. That's like Christmas and pecan praline ice cream. I am back.
Feeding Reagan?
Resident again.
What, Reagan, what do you think of Patrick's storyline and the fact, like, him and his talking with, and all of a sudden I can't remember the character name, Sonya Eddy.
Epiphany.
What's the character's? Epiphany, there we go. Patrick talking to Epiphany about his drug addiction. I think that those two have had some of the best scenes on General Hospital this year, and they just continue.
They had some good scenes this week. I like when they give Sonya some, like, meaty material to work with. It did feel a little disjointed with all the Jerry stuff going on this week, to kind of, like, just slip it in there to sort of tie Patrick's whole thing up with a nice, neat bow. But, you know, whatever. I guess it needed to be done.
What nurses union does Epiphany belong to? Where a nurse gets to tell a doctor, Monica, trust me to be in charge of this hospital, and if I can't, I'm like... I love Epiphany, but if
I would Soho check her.
With Robin, if I was Robin, I would have been like, "Will you shut the fuck up and go get me a bedpan, Epiphany?"
I'd be like, "Miss Johnson in room 405 needs her ass wiped, girl. Shut up."
Ooh. Like, you know, if my mom is a registered nurse before I get all these emails, and we talk about that, she goes, "Oh no. No, nurse." She said, "You can get buck with the doctor at times." She said, "But no nurse in the history of nursing would ever keep a job with a mouth like Epiphany's." And I'm like, but I do like those
scenes. She gives good soap.
I like those scenes.
With
I wish they get
constant showers.
They need to give her a new, you know, a family and storyline, you know, because we already lost that one boy to the mob. You know, the only person in Port Charles who have to die for the mob is the black
boy. Black boy that got gunned down by the mob. Damn it.
Well, and I want to ask about that, because YNR has put out a casting call for a smart and witty black boy. Now,
a man with an MBA. He's not a boy. He's a boy. He's under 18. He's a man.
Here's a question that only you guys could answer.
What?
Is the putting the word smart and witty as upsetting, possibly, as using a sassy black woman stereotype?
Not on this show. They need clarification. Belle Soaps, you have to do that, or we will get another Marcus. So
get a junkie or some slutty crack whore. So yes, it, I don't feel offended by it at all, because I'm damn tired, I say, of them Bell Show bringing on someone of color who's either homeless, can't read, mama was a crack hoe, daddy was a pimp. I'm tired. When I saw that casting call, y'all know me and Jill don't play Parcheesi together. No way. We ain't shooting spades or nothing. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, shit, okay, I could get down with this, Jill.
And thank Josh, because he had to come up with it in his Bible before she could cast it. So, yes, the fact that they're coming up in here, and, you know, Maria's thing was, okay, I'm going to do something with the black storyline. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Divine's, like, biological aunt to town. And, like, have her sleep with Neil. And then I'm going to reveal that she's not really his aunt. And you know how those blacks just like to sleep people there with people as soon as they find out they're not related.
Exactly.
So she's going to screw Divine. Mm-hmm. And then her next version is Sophia.
Well, to beat me, I love Neil. I really do, but I can't him.
Well, should Christoph's St. John's Neil be worried, or should he keep reading Blacktail? Mel?
Oh, she's
killing that
in heaven.
Christoph, make it clap.
Isn't he supposed to be, the cast call is for a younger African?
Well, I know, but
right?
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't he use Christoph's screen
be
time?
We need an older and a younger. That's fine. I'm just glad.
Go ahead, Mel. I'm sorry.
Thuggish and Ruggish. I'm so glad it did not say Thuggish and Ruggish. So, that's
and it can be two educated brothers in the same town. It is possible.
Well, no, it is possible, but it very rarely happens.
Okay, are you Maria? Why, you know, contrary to popular belief, we all don't look alike, okay? So
I never said anybody did.
He's saying on a soap it rarely happens, and that is true. It does rarely happen on a soap.
You said Christoph have to be worried? No. The one.
Yeah, because if he comes on, Christoph's airtime will get reduced. Not that he has a whole now.
I would say the person who should be worried is that boy playing, well, not boy, my bad, that man playing Devon. He should be worried because it's in Devon's age range. I don't think that that person is recasting Devon. You never know. They could do a red herring, but the person who should be worried is Brighton James McClure, whatever your name is.
Because if you remember that recast when they were trying to recast Jill, they played with the casting call to make it like it wasn't Jill, but it was still powerful woman in her 50s. You know, it sounds like a Devon recast.
Oh, I would be ecstatic if they recasted Devon. I have not liked him in that role since the beginning.
It sounds like a Devon recast to me, except for the NBA, because Devon went to college, but I ain't never heard nothing about him getting no...
Yeah, he got a bachelor's, but he don't have no, you know... I would say
no, this is the soap where Rick on God and Light got his medical degree in two flat weeks. So maybe Devon took some night classes we didn't know about. He certainly had enough time off screen. But
yeah, so that person should be worried. Christoph should embrace it.
But why couldn't Neil be a mentor to this new character?
Like, yeah, hell.
He could be his intern or something. Why not?
Where does Neil work? Does Neil got a job?
He works for Chancellor.
Right? Uh-oh. Tell me something. Chancellor don't do nothing. Chancellor has never been a company other than K. I am Mr. Sherman. I need you to draw up some papers for me. That's why we don't ever see Neil. He ain't at Newman or Jabot where the action is. Chancellor don't do shit. I don't even think Mr. Chancellor running drugs through Genoa City. Enterprises, Josh.
Run moonshine to keep K afloat. Run that moonshine.
Let's talk about the action at Newman Enterprises, because, Mel, this week I sort of came to the realization that Sharon may not be a stupid hoe, she may not be a smart hoe, but she sure is a slippery hoe, because she slips in and out of all kinds of things, take the puns however you want, one of them being the fact that she's riding in to take over Newman Enterprises. What are your thoughts on Sharon becoming the queen bee, literally and figuratively, of Genoa City?
I said this on Twitter. The fact that Sharon is involved in a business storyline other than being a pretty face is absolutely absurd. I I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. Sharon has no business being the head of Nuva Enterprises.
Well.
None whatsoever. And Tucker being her little mouthpiece in the background, Tucker just going to have to die. I'm tired of seeing this kid.
See, I sort of like Tucker and Sharon together.
Well, Mel, I mean, Mel, you know you my girl. You my Miss Texas. I love you, baby girl. But the only person who should be in charge of Newman, that's a Newman kid, should be Adam, because Adam went to school. He said, I got a degree. Nick got a degree in finger painting, and Victoria got a degree in not doing her hair.
So,
Bill Gates told me to tell y'all a degree don't always mean shit. Victor started that company from the ground up. He ain't got a degree from nothing but talking like this university.
But, you know. But I'm saying, like, you know, if we gonna do that as a prerequisite, come on, Mel. But I do think, I ain't gonna lie, I thought that Sharon was a bad bitch taking over that company. I was like, ooh, it gave me chills. You know, I'm not gonna lie. The story
is stupid. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jillian. Go ahead.
Stupid, but I do like the fact that Sharon, you know, we finally get to see, even though Tucker is the puppeteer, we do finally, you know, after all the years of, what's she name now, Maria bullshit and saying that Sharon's going to be strong. Sharon's going to be strong. The only thing I think I saw strong as Sharon was the Kegel muscles. I was glad that Sharon finally got to see
And they wasn't too strong because Nick kept going back to Phyllis.
Bam! You know, this time I'm liking the fact that a strong Sharon is like, I'm not gonna let these Newman brats run me out of here. I'ma run this bitch. I kinda like that.
It's only because of bad writing, though, because the Victoria Newman that I know, the baddest bitch, her daddy's little girl, would have had that
Sharon for lunch.
No, that Barbie doll lawyer would have drawn up a motion challenging Sharon's right to take on that proxy based on her history of mental instability. There is no company in America that would allow a woman who has been a kleptomaniac whoremonger beast that they talk about in the Book of Revelations in the Bible to come and sit atop a multinational corporation. You know, please. Anybody, any writer, you know, somebody writing nursery rhymes could punch holes through that story. Victoria would have been like, can I have a moment with Sharon alone? We'll excuse the board for a minute. And she would have detailed all of the skullduggery this woman has done and how, okay, you take control of this company and then I will tank my father's company because I will use my husband's multinational talk show that is taped in Wisconsin to talk about the fact that you didn't know out of three men who your baby daddy was. You were on trial for murder last year and ran off to a farm.
And
let's talk about the fact that between Victoria and Nick, they have almost $1 billion, and they could buy up all the outstanding shares and take over the company if they wanted.
Okay, Luke, you and them shares, boy, I'm a spanking.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, from a standpoint of if they were really worried about it, they could put their checkbook where their mouth is.
From that standpoint, Luke, then Jill shouldn't have been broke back. What was it? 2 years ago, filing nails down because she has.
Well, I never thought that was smart anyways, Jamie.
And the thing of it is, that's Maria dropping storylines because when they got that money, that is what they talked about doing. How they were going to start buying up shares in Newman so that they could take control. But, you know, there was somebody from Happy Days who Maria ran into at the Grove and she decided she needed to cast them that week because, you know, who cares about keeping up with those pesky corporate stories? Beauty of nature, beauty of nature, beauty of nature. If I say it a lot, people will like it. Beauty of nature, beauty of nature. Jack's going to get beauty of nature. Do we even hear about beauty of nature now? Ashley gone, Jack rolling around.
Zooming around her.
Come back here, nigga.
Get away! Get away!
That's funny.
Look, he just said, like, I'm gonna tell you what Jack gonna do. Cause look, and I can joke about this because my father, bless his heart, he's been in a wheelchair for 34 years, and my father's favorite thing when he's mad at somebody is to knock the shit out of him with his chair and act like he ain't trying to do it. That's what I would do. I would pick this ass over in that wheelchair because it can't happen. One of my cousins was talking smart to my daddy one time and he just accidentally hit that button. Bop! Knocked that heifer right on the floor.
But you heard what you said it about, right? Victor. Victor. That's not going to happen. I mean, the other day you saw Victor whooping them two men ass. I was like, that is like Suge Knight and, well, not Suge Knight, because we know Epiphany could whoop his ass, but that is like 50 Cent and that is like 50 Cent and Dr. Dre getting their ass whooped by Fred Sanford. That is just not going to happen. I'm sorry.
When I saw that the mess, I just said, you know, and this is a lot of the mainstream press is praising Maria for this. She kept the vets front and center. If making me believe that somebody who is all way up enrolled in their AARP can whoop two longshoremen that, you know, just got through chicken logs.
My thing about it is I would argue about the legitimacy of saying that YNR's people vets are front and center. Where's Neil Benn? Yes, we get to see Jeannie Cooper and Eric Braden, but Melody Thomas Scott had to be saved. Jess Walton has been off air countless times because of contract stuff. Yes, there have been more, maybe in proportion to the others, but it hasn't been like every single person over 40 or 50 has been on screen every single day.
She supposedly fights for them. Sony is the one. You know, she's made a really good effort to vilify Sony in this, and I've said this before. People try to tell me, oh, it's different pots of money. I'm not slow, though, and I'm sorry. I do believe that the casting budget as a whole has been bloated because of all of Maria's snatch and grabs and stunt casting. Do I believe that she values Eric and Melody and Jess and all of them and never wanted them to be off and that was a Sony thing? Yeah. But Sony is a business. With Sony, it wasn't about those specific people. It was about these people have high salaries. The casting budget is bloated. Why is the casting budget bloated? It's because you have all of these freaking people who don't belong on this show, like Stephen Nichols and Debbie Morgan and Julia Pace Mitchell and Gary Quinn from Knots Landing and Angelica Devereaux from Days of Our Lives, whatever her name is on this show, Gloria, and all these people that you, if you want to keep your budget balanced, you get rid of all those superfluous people. And if you want color characters in terms of to fill out stories, you get the characters that the fans actually care about, like the Tracy Abbotts and the Ninas, which I will applaud Maria for that. But you do that instead of full, you know, Brett Butlers and One Day at a Time Mom and everybody.
And people see,
I'll agree with you there.
See, people don't realize when they're like, oh, YNR does stunt casting. No one is disputing that, but you people keep forgetting that, you know, even though they're not getting guap, they're still, well, for y'all who don't know, if they're not getting a big check, they're still getting a sizable amount of money that is coming out of that bloated budget, hence you not being able to see your people on screen.
Right.
Remember, wasn't it like a few years ago, Sarah Burrell broke the news that Sony went to them and said, look here, it's time for y'all to put up a shut up. Y'all need to take a pay cut. You know, they had a list and they were like, y'all need to take a pay cut. And some of them went with it. They rolled with the punches. And some people, i.e. Eric, didn't want to take a pay cut. So it's like, you get the hand that you dealt with.
And they need to take these casts to 20 or something people and cut out. You know, the logic has always been, oh, you can get four Yvonne Zimmas for a Melody Thomas Scott. But yeah, but when the viewers at your show tune in for Melody Thomas Scott, you pay her and you don't bring on the Yvonne Zimmas because there's no need for them. And you come up with better and you have a young adult cast, but they are rooted in the show. You actually write a Summer Newman. Why did Maria bring back Summer Newman? Why? When Victor's children were sore-assed, they came with a ready-made story that Bill Bell had thought out. He didn't sore-ass Victoria just to bring her back and go, oh my God, Mom, I'm gonna go take Faith and Lulu and we're gonna go to the art museum. Oh my God, Mom, did you run someone over again, Mom? I'm like, I want Phyllis to slap the shit out that little girl. You know,
give
that's
us
all
peanut butter. Give us some peanut butter.
Why did they, when they sore-assed Victoria, it was because they were gonna bring her back and let her fall in love with Ryan, the, you know, the horny little boy that wanted it all the time, that worked at Newman, and he was dicking Nina at the same time, and Victoria was frigid because she was young. It was a story. You didn't just sore-ass them for no reason. Nick got sore-assed, and then we had Sharon and Matt and Amy. Why Sora's Summer and Finn? For what purpose when they have had no story since they've been back? Why is Eden here? You know, all Eden has done is get almost killed by Nikki. And now she's making me mad because I'm like,
by Nikki?
I mean, not Nikki. What's that boy named? Ricky. You know, look, Nikki be killing folks too, so I got confused. You know, she be busting people's head to the white meat in the park, like Diane. Rest in peace, Diane. Fashion model turned architect turned get your head bashed in the park, Diane Jenkins. That's
Bianca. You know, maybe with this new regime, because, you know, in early to mid-October is when their stuff's going to be aired. I'm hoping that Josh, you know, Josh is going to have to bring the noise. He's going to have to bring the thunder because from what I understand, honey child, if y'all think it is garbage now, wait until that show keeps, wait until Maria stuff finally tapers off. Y'all are going to be like, what the fuck? What if we watch this? It is
trust. So wait. Are you, just to clarify, are you saying that the stuff that's tapering off is bad or the new stuff coming
stuff
in is
tapering,
bad?
Maria's end game. Maria's,
okay, just want to clarify.
Maria says she going to fix your pony wagon, Sony.
The stuff that she has lined up. Oh, y'all are going to shape her up. She's going to fit it. She's going to feel it.
Look, now, so long, sister socialite. She going to tear it up.
Jamie, what are your final thoughts on the world of soaps as we end this podcast?
My final thoughts is, can y'all start, look at her networks and stuff. I'm going to need y'all to spread some stuff out. Y'all just be trying to drop everything on Mondays. And look, Monday is a rough day of the week. Good.
Mel?
I do have to give a shout-out to Brandon Barash for General Hospital for this past Friday. I thought his scenes where he was praying in the hospital chapel were amazing. How Johnny was about to admit to Star that he was behind her baby and Cole's death, and it got interrupted. I was just very impressed
Chelsea
with him.
Brady. You kin to Chelsea Brady, Johnny Zakara running people down.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is, look at here, actors. It is a new day. It is 2012, not 1984, where you can cut the fool and they'll throw bags of money your way. EB, it's like, Jill, you know, I would never defend her like that. But she, I have to be fair, she hasn't even hit the set yet and you already tripping. For all you know, we know Jill likes to cut for the men, folk. For all we know, she might want to do some work with you. She might want to tell you, pack your bangay up and get off my set. Or she may give you...
No one consulted me.
Child, put on a bra and get out of here. But she may pull an EB, and not an EB, a Tony Geary. Give you a Tony Geary. Wasn't it under her, either her or Wendy Riche, where Tony Geary got that sweetheart deal where he still gets paid the big bucks, but he's off half the year, so it balances itself out. It's like, Eric, shut up. Like, you are the, you know... As much as we'd like to say it's an ensemble cast, it is what it is. Eric is the face of that show. You need to lead. You need to be a better leader. You're acting like a whining girl now. It's like, dial it down, sweetheart.
Reagan, final thought?
I don't know why there's nobody having sex on The Bold and the Beautiful still.
I know. It should be the...
You betrayed me, Reagan.
I mean, come on.
It should be the chastity belt.
You felt her up.
Liam is like, gets butt wasted and they're still not banging? What the fuck?
That boy's balls are as blue as Papa Smurf.
No, that Tommy.
Well, that's probably the reason why he keeps going back and forth. He's just trying to get some and he has two girls and one, neither of them will give it up.
Thomas, too. Thomas! Ooh, I mean, I guess when that girl brush up against Thomas, Thomas sings in the key of life. I'm like, you have not gotten laid since you've been on this show.
That show used to be the sex show.
I mean,
that's what hooked me on Bold and the Beautiful is that Brooke Logan, that was always the running joke with me and my grandmother because, you know, she was a Taylor fan. And I'd be like, Taylor might get Ridge back, mama, but Brooke gonna get in one of them red teddies and lure him into the steam room and throw that dust on him and it's gonna be all over because he don't want to go home to Taylor after that.
after that, Eric's going to give him a high five. And be like, yeah, and Stephanie sit there looking jealous.
Look, Eric reminiscing. I had that too. I had it too. Look, they like Joe Kennedy and Jack Kennedy over Marlena Dietrich. You know, Bold and the Beautiful used to be a sexy show. Now this pretty little girl and, you know, nobody having, you know, what's her name is supposed to be the temptress and she don't never sleep with nobody to steal them away. I'm like, what is this? Vicki Hudson would be like, bitch, please, you got to screw a man to keep him.
Well, see, that was the thing, though.
And it always comes back to Another World or Sunset
No,
on that note,
hold up, and clarify. Wait, let's clarify. Who would come back to Sunset Beach for?
Sorry, Santa Barbara. Pardon me. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com, add us as a friend on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Make a clap for me, Kristoff.